Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Friday, a happy hour Friday, all 4 hours.
Yeah, happy hour, man.
Today. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Both Kennesaw and Buckhead locations are open for dine-in and take-out. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yes, sir. It is a midday show, happy hour, four-hour show sponsored by Twin Peaks. Like Andy said, their locations in Kennesaw and Buckhead are open for dine-in, take-out. Go down there, get some of that cold brew, get some eye candy, get you some fried pickles, which I always miss on Fridays. What's going on over there in Smyrna, brother?
I mean, it's just another beautiful Friday. It's 10 o'clock somewhere. It's 10 o'clock nice. Here, actually, it's right nice, now. But, man. Yeah, the sun's coming out. It's supposed to rain a little bit later, but that's okay. We're looking at a three-day weekend, which is going to be fantastic. And
Hold on. What you talking about? We ain't got to work Monday.
We don't have to work Monday, Randy. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Sweet.
Well, you know what's funny about it is I actually didn't know that until like Wednesday night.
Right.
For whatever reason, I thought Memorial Day weekend was next weekend. I don't know why. Probably because time doesn't exist right now and every day is the same. So it didn't really matter to me or make that much of a difference to me or hit me that this weekend was actually the holiday weekend until my wife mentioned it, because we're thinking about, I don't know, trying to do something. I don't know what. Whatever it is
right.
that we can come up with that we might be able to do. And she mentioned, oh, yeah, well, maybe we could do this or that. And I was like, well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's next weekend. You know, this weekend is not – no, this is Memorial Day weekend. So that was nice. It was something nice about not knowing. It's like almost a gift, like finding money in the dryer or something like
right,
that, you know?
Right.
That's something you didn't expect. So that was really good to get that. And we're 4 hours away from it, which is fantastic. The good thing about that is the four-hour happy hour on Friday today has a lot in it. There's a lot to get to the next 4 hours.
Is.
Hugh Douglas going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour, which is fun, checking in on our loved ones. Haven't had a chance to talk to Hugh in a while. If you could take a moment from, you know, fighting with people on Twitter about various different things.
Andy, Bunk, I was going to say this, and you know how much we love you. And we call Joe Patrick, Joe P, our guy. We call him the troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. We got to come up with a nickname for Hugh. let's call him the fire starter.
Yeah, the fire starter.
No.
Perfect.
Instigating Hugh Douglas. That's what we're going to call him.
Instigating Hugh. Yeah, he is.
Instigating Hugh.
And the funny thing, the thing that Hugh does that is so counter to Hugh's like regular everyday life personality is on Twitter he'll say stuff and then be like, oh, that's not what I meant. I was just putting it there for commentary. I was just putting it up there with no you knew exactly what you were doing. You put it up there to get a reaction from people, and now you're sitting back because you're bored in quarantine, and you're sitting back and watching the world burn, which is fine, like whatever.
Yeah,
but don't try to act like that's not what you're doing, okay? Like but everyone knows your goal.
Of all of our shows that on 92.9 The Game, ain't nobody ready to go back to the studio more than Hugh. Nope. There's nobody. Well, he's nobody gone a couple is, times. Nobody is ready to go back to work more than Hugh. I mean, I love me some Hugh, but it's, you know what? It's written all over his tweet.
Yeah.
Hugh ready to go back to work, man.
Well, there's no question about equipment. It. He had his son fake break his equipment so he could go back to the studio a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
We heard he was back there on Tuesday just checking stuff out. He's just going in there, like, checking it out, making sure it's ready for when everyone's ready to come back to the studio.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's over there at the Kia studio right now other than, I mean, what is he going in there for?
People.
Because, I mean.
Human interaction.
But that's what I'm saying. He just walked down the street. He's going back to the studio like something different.
People that he knows. People that he knows. I don't know, man. Yeah. Something to break up the routine. We'll talk to Hugh in the 11 o'clock hour. Other big stuff. I mean, Thomas Dimitroff was on the show yesterday. We're going to react a little bit to what he said in a minute, but also let you hear that entire interview in the 1 o'clock hour. But the real thing to look forward to is we did this last Friday in the AMA with my wife, Ashley, who joined us coming up today in the AMA at 1:40. Randy's wife, Donna, is going to join us. And I can't wait. Like, the AMA is always a fun way to end the show anyway, but getting our families involved, getting our wives involved. It was great last weekend. I can't wait to do it today.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. And she's already told all her friends and everybody to download the radio.com app. So they listen to our show all the time anyways, but especially today because she's letting everybody know that she's going to be on. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun because my wife has no filter like me. She's sweeter than I am, but she has no filter like I do. So she ain't going to curse, but she might say some crazy stuff like I do. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure y'all tune in. Make sure y'all start getting your questions in early because, like I said, 1:40, it's going to be on.
Brian Gebhardt makes a great point.
What's that?
We've got a dump button. I mean, if things get too out of hand.
Like I said, she's one of the classiest people I've ever met in my life. So you ain't got to worry about that. She ain't going to say nothing crazy like I would as far as cursing. It's going to be like, you know how brash and blunt I am? Well, she's brash and blunt, but she says it so sweet that you make you think like, okay, she's insulting you, but it's really a compliment.
All right.
No, well, I'm sorry. You think she's complimenting you, but it's really an insult.
Yeah, it's a sneaky little jab. That's good stuff. Yeah. So we got that coming up at 1:40. Anyway, a lot to get to. It's a Friday happy hour brought to you by Twin Peaks. And
Drink up.
Yeah, I got this bottle of Lagavulin scotch staring at me. I thought it'd be a good idea to take a picture of it and be like, oh, this is funny, what Andy would like to be drinking on Friday. But now it's just sitting here like, put me in your coffee.
Yeah, dude.
Just dump a little of me in your coffee and see how your Friday improves.
She will never know
if
you put it in your coffee.
She would know. She's 10 feet away from me right now. The bottle is not open yet. So, the seal on the bottle would be cracked. And I haven't drank in 6 months. I think I would probably show symptoms. You know what I mean? That's one of the things I'm looking most forward to is I'm going to be such a lightweight. It's going to be hilarious when I finally take a sip of something. It's going to be like going back to high school, drinking one beer and being hammered. But in the 11 o'clock hour yesterday, and we got a chance to react to it a little bit as the show went on, Thomas Dimitroff joined us, general manager at Atlanta Falcons, covered a lot of different ground with him. But one of the things we wanted to ask him about is because it's something that we've been talking about ourselves and I think we feel pretty good about is the offseason acquisitions that he and the Falcons have made between the draft and free agency. And just sort of reacting to what seems like has been a positive offseason. We asked him how he felt about it. I mean, obviously, he was going to say he felt good about it. He was the one who was responsible for the majority of the moves. But with a good offseason and what we, Randy, think is already a pretty good roster, the Falcons have a lot of talent on paper. And isn't that his job? Like, maybe I'm oversimplifying it for the sake of argument, and I probably am, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Thomas Dimitroff's job to make the Falcons good on paper?
Yes, that's his job.
Other people's job to make that come to life?
Yes, that's the thing. You know, when you look at coaches that have been GMs over the years, I mean, I'll just give a specific was Andy Reid. You know what I'm saying? And now it's Bill O'Brien out there in Houston. You know, their job is to pick the players. And a lot of times the head coaches, they have a lot of the majority of the time they have the final say on the 53-man roster. But in this case, we know Dan has a final say, but Thomas gets the players for him. And they have that kind of what we call a co-team building type thing. And, yes, but we can go back to last year. We thought, and, you know, going up the Flowery Branch and, you know, they signed two linemen and this, and that, and drafted this guy and that, and you're thinking it's supposed to be fixed. But it's one thing to get these guys. It's another thing to implement them and their talents into your system. And they just didn't do that last year. Or maybe it was just the wrong guy, Andy. Maybe Karp wasn't the right guy. Maybe Jamon Brown wasn't the right guy. It sounded good because it seemed like it filled the need, but it wasn't the right guy. You know what I'm saying? And now we're in a situation again where, you know, I look at it as on paper, I look at it as this year or this offseason was better than last year from just the fact that they went and got three starters that they lost. They went and got a pass rusher to replace Vic Beasley. They went and got a tight end to replace Austin Hooper. They went and got a running back to replace Devonta Freeman. They drafted a corner that they needed. They got a defensive tackle. You know, they got all these things, but right. That's
all the
just
boxes
us.
Are checked.
They got everything, but they got to go out there and put it on paper. Now it's all up to Dan Quinn. And it's not just up to Dan Quinn. It's up to Dirk Cutter, especially, to implement these new offensive weapons that they got. And it's up to Raheem Morris to get these guys caught up and ready to go.
Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier in the week and maybe kind of decided it wasn't worth our time to try to go back and dive too deep into 1-7 and try to figure out what went wrong with 1-7 and what got fixed with 6-2 in the second half of the season. And I think that that's true. But one thing that I do think that that illustrates is that at the beginning of the season, when there was people, you know, I don't know, maybe a couple radio hosts up at Flowery Branch talking about thinking that the Falcons look good on paper, maybe they weren't as crazy as they sounded at 1-7 when the Falcons were able to come back and do what they did in the second half of the year. I think that second half performance validated a lot of what had been done leading into the year. Now, again, whatever the hell happened to make them go 1-7, all of the ingredients, because it's not one thing, but all of the combination of misfires and missteps that allowed them to have that record, we can't recant all of those things. But they did figure it out in the second half of the year, which means they did have some level of talent, which means that Thomas Dimitroff did do some part of his job leading into last season. And I'm with you. I think this offseason looks even better. Again, it won't matter if they go out there and have the same first half like they had last year, because no one's going to look at it and say, well, Thomas Dimitroff signed all the right guys. Clearly, it's not his fault. It's everyone's fault if it doesn't go well this year. I just feel like, and I felt like it going into the year last year too, I feel like the general manager has done his job. I think he has provided this coaching staff with enough talent. They already have so much anyway. And that's the crazy thing about it is there's so many good players that are already here. He's fortified that roster to the point where the expectation should be what you and I have been saying over the last couple of weeks after the draft, which is get to the damn playoffs and win some games when you get there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate goal. That has to be the ultimate goal. I mean, we can go back and say, well, you know, that, like, if they make the playoffs, that should save Dan Quinn's job. Why the hell should we just sit there and, okay, they make the playoffs. They put an extra damn slot in there for teams to make the playoffs, all right? You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? They put an extra team.
They lowered the standard.
You know, they lowered the dang-gone standard for making the playoffs. No, they should go for the Super Bowl because they have the talent to do that. Now, with us saying that and all that, I mean, we can talk about it until we're blue in the face. But we ain't got to go out there and do it, Andy. And they cannot. It'll be catastrophic if they have the same kind of start they had last year. You know what I'm saying? Because the fact is, we don't want to hear it. Falcon fans don't want to hear no more slogans. We don't want to hear no – what was the crazy slogan they just came out with for the T-shirt?
Embrace the space.
Embrace the space. Nobody want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear embrace nothing. You know what the Falcons fans want to hear? They want to hear embrace some wins. Yeah. That's what they want to do. They don't want to, they don't give a damn about no more all this. They don't care. They don't care about
Jack. And it doesn't need to be on a T-shirt either. Just do
it. They don't care. They don't care about them. They don't care about Jack. They don't care about energy. They don't want to hear none of that, man. All right? Because they're tired. And that's the thing about they've been hearing it for so long. They don't want to hear it no more. They want to see wins. That's why when you talk about Tack McKinley, nobody cares what he tweets anymore. They don't care. Yeah. Nobody cares what your promises are or you're making fun. Nobody want to hear that. They want production. We want you to go out there and do your damn job. Point blank, period. Nothing. So if you're a Falcon fan, of course you're ready for the season. You want to see your team. You love this team. But your expectations, I'm sure a lot of Falcon fan expectations are like, I don't know. Because you don't know what's going on with this team. And the when you talk to people around the league about Atlanta Falcons, all of them say the same thing. We don't know what to judge the Falcons on from year to year. We know they got talent. We know they got talent. But what is it going to come of that talent? What is going to come of it?
Yeah.
The Falcons are a team, if you look at them, talent-wise and all these things, they can go 13-3 or they can go 6-10. Every year. That can be what the Falcons are. 13-3, 6-10.
What's the difference in that equation, though? Like, what's the X factor
I don't
in
know.
That equation? It seems it's got to be coaching, doesn't it? Like,
it
has to
I mean,
has
that,
to
that has a lot to do with it. But still, what about the guys on the field? I mean, that's where I'm at. Okay, you can blame Dan Quinn and Thomas and all these people, but what about the dudes that's on the field? You know what I'm saying? Why can't they go out there and do their job? Because maybe sometimes you're just not capable of it. I don't know. It goes hand in hand. When you have as much talent as the Falcons have, when they lose and look the way they look, it goes hand in hand. You just can't put it all on Dan Quinn.
Sometimes in team building processes, you can identify individuals and say, oh, this guy's maybe not to blame, this guy is, this guy's not to blame, this guy is. They're so far along in this process. If it goes well, everyone gets credit. If it goes badly, everyone's gone. And that's basically the way that it goes. Although I do think Thomas Dimitroff had a pretty nice offseason. We'll let you hear some of what he had to say coming up in What's Trending coming up next, as well as checking in with Felix Hernandez.
Because my goal is to get to 200 wins and to get to 3,000 strikeouts.
What Felix Hernandez didn't say is that was his goal this year. 200 wins and 3,000 strikeouts this year. Lofty goals for Felix. I think he can do it. We'll come back and get to What's Trending. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
No, actually, I'm not thinking about that yet, because I think that I still got more to do on the game of baseball. And I know I can pitch. I got a lot of weapons to go up there and get people out. But actually, I don't know. I'm going to go GA by year, because my goal is to get to 200 wins and to get to 3,000 strikeouts. So if I get to that goal, I can hang my spikes. I'm done.
That's the voice of Felix Hernandez there, Randy. Not that I needed to tell anybody that. I'm sure everyone knew.
Not at all. Not at all.
On a radio interview in Seattle yesterday, talking about what his goals are for the remainder of his career. And if you talk about a guy who wants to get to 200 wins and 3,000 strikeouts, we're talking about a guy who's still got multiple seasons in his mind, because he's got 169 wins right now, about 2,500 strikeouts.
Hold on. How many wins do you want to get?
200.
And how many he got now? 169?
Okay. 100, so 31.
Okay.
So, I don't know. How many seasons is that if you're Felix Hernandez? One, probably. He can get 31 wins this year. Give him 31 wins and 500 strikeouts. I don't think those are unrealistic goals when it comes to Felix Hernandez, in my opinion. No, I mean, what, 3 years maybe? The thing is about him is that he feels old because he's been in baseball for a billion years, because he came in when he was 19. Felix only 34. Like, it's not ridiculous to think that he might be able to do that. Now, it's ridiculous to think he might be able to do that if you look at the way he pitched the last couple of years, but small sample size, spring training, 13 and two-thirds innings, he looked pretty damn good. I just hope that this time off doesn't derail the momentum that he had in spring. But again, like, that's good. I would have thought, honestly, if I was asked at the end of last season what Felix Hernandez's goals for baseball were, at that point, I would have said, none, probably. Like, go home and count his money and hang out. But the fact that he's thinking that way, I mean, that means he wants to play for a few more years, which is great, and I hope he does. I hope he's able to find that second career, and I hope it's here in Atlanta.
You know, sometimes when you're in a place, as long as Felix was in Seattle, a change of scenery might be the best thing for some people. And we've seen older pitchers come to Atlanta and pitch well. You know what I'm saying? We've seen it, you know, so far. And I'm not talking about as dominant as they may have been once before, but they pitched well and they've helped the team. You know, we had a whole lot of fun this spring with Felix, because Felix did look good. And if you want to discredit, you can say that, well, he's pitching against some bums, and stuff like that, because it is spring training. But, I mean, he did look well. And he is going to be a big part of it, especially knowing the fact that if baseball comes back, because right now, while all the stuff that's going on with them folks over there, we don't know what's happening. But, I mean, he can contribute and help this team, you know. And we talk about Cole Hamels coming in and all that, and how much Brian hates him and everything, and him getting hurt and giving Felix this opportunity to pitch well. And Felix took advantage of the opportunity. So can all this coexist? Because you're going to need multiple arms. Yeah. If you're talking about starting the baseball season, I know they're going to have a some similar spring training or whatever you want to call it, but it's not going to be the full thing. So you're going to need arms, because the one thing and the one position that's going to need more time to develop are the pitchers. You know, as far as them being able to go 7-8 innings. You know, when they first start, they might go 5. You know, you're lucky if you put them out there for 5.
5's a good start now.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, if you look at them having to restart the season, these pitchers are going to – they can't do their full boat, their full load off the get-go. They're going to have to work their way into it. And with an abbreviated season, Andy, hell, I mean, you're talking about they might not get to their full peak to maybe they 6 start.
Right, and if they're doing a 6-man rotation and you've got a 30-man roster and you're going to use the bullpen more, I mean, it's possible that in an 80-game season, an 82-game season, which is what the proposal is, I mean, you're going to get 15 starts. I mean, you're not going to get, and maybe even less than that, you're not going to get anything near what a normal season would be for you. So obviously, it's going to be a hard task to work your way into that shape like you're talking about. Now, the good news for the Braves is, you know, one of the things we spent a lot of time talking about in the offseason was battles at positions. If you expand the roster and you have DH and you have 6 pitchers in your rotation, Felix and Cole Hamels both make it. Johan Camargo and Austin Riley both make it. The Braves are in a good spot because they were overloaded at some of those positions that look like they're going to be expanded now at these rosters. Now, as for what you were talking about there as far as Major League Baseball and the Players Association, the Players Association has responded to the owner's proposal as far as the safety precautions go. We still don't really know where they stand with the money, but the baseball players just want to shower together, Randy. That's all they want. They don't want to have to get on that airplane or get on that bus after the game stinking. They want to be able to take a shower after the game, which was in the proposal to not do, to, I guess, be safer. They want to be able to get in the whirlpool and have some of that rejuvenative ice bath or warm water or whatever, and do their normal routine. These are their criticisms of baseball's proposal. They want to be able to shower together.
Well, I mean, the thing with it is, you know, you go back to high school, and not too many of us, when we played high school sport, took showers after the game. We got on the bus stanking, especially if you're a football player. You got on there, which you probably wore the same drawers that you played in and stuff like that. But you got on the bus, and you didn't think nothing of it. As a professional, and we were talking about it yesterday, you know, as far as being in the shower, when you go to a locker room, majority of the time, it's a big room with maybe 15 shower heads, and that's what you do. And now you talk about the whirlpools and all these things. Yeah, and if you go in the training room, they have individual whirlpools. But for the big part about it, and they have a big, you know, almost it looks like somebody's backyard pool of a hot tub and a cold tub. And it's multiple guys in there at the same time. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you want to prevent a large gathering like that of a bunch of guys in a hot tub. As an athlete, you got to find some way to recover. It's not that easy. And you go back to the manager from Major Leagues. Throughout the year, arm muscles, springs. You know, that was a pretty bad impression.
We're coddling these guys too much.
You know what I'm saying? But you got to have it, though. I mean, it's one thing. I'll say this all the time. It's amazing what a cold tub does for you, dude. And I didn't get in the cold tub for a while. I was like, man, I'm young and I can bounce back. But once you guys start getting older, you better get in that cold tub and get your body right. Get in that hot tub in the morning and all those things. And that is a big part of being that professional athlete.
I took a pre-show cold shower today just to make sure my mind was right for the Friday happy hour. True story.
Oh, did
I was feeling really tired this morning. I don't know why. Like, I didn't have my normal zest on a Friday. So
what you talking about, man? Huh? It's happy hour Friday, dude.
I know, and I feel good now, but I think the cold shower had a lot to do with that.
Oh, yeah, you got to do it. And make sure y'all send us some pictures. We already got a couple from John, the Miami fan, of what he's drinking. And we know what he's drinking because that's the only thing he drinks. I got Sean said he's cooling right now. He's drinking water, but he will be getting to it later on. And then Daniel, my man Daniel, he said he's having Woodford Reserve, a Fallen Angel cigar, and Parliament Funkadelics. I'm going to hang out with Daniel one of these days. I'm going to hang out with Daniel one day.
That's the guy. That's the winner in the clubhouse. That's what we're doing in the clubhouse right now, 10:30 in the morning. By the way, the Friday Happy Hour is always brought to you by Twin Peaks. Both the Kennesaw and Buckhead locations are open for dine-in and takeout, following all CDC guidelines. And like Randy said, if you're drinking early, which there's nothing wrong with doing on quarantine Friday, or even if you're not on quarantine, whatever, do you. Send us a picture at TBM929 at RandyMack81. We'll get you a shout-out. Let's hear what Thomas Dimitroff had to say yesterday.
No, the focus was probably much more in that 9, 10, 11, 12 area. The way that the draft went in the first round, those first 3, 4, and 5 picks, set the tone for the rest of the top 10. Of course, personally, I've always been involved in trades in the draft. It's something I believe in, being aggressive. This was truly the first year that everything was falling into place as we wanted, that it didn't precipitate.
Yeah, so again, that's Dimitroff talking about the way the first round went, and we asked him about not making a trade with all of the rumors circulating that the Falcons would move into the top 10 or into the top 5 or maybe even all the way up to the top 2. He did tell us yesterday that stuff was overblown, obviously, because they didn't make a move at all. But the draft kind of fell the way they thought it was going to. The way I heard him talk yesterday, it sounded to me like they had an interest in a guy who maybe went somewhere between 9 and 11, probably named C.J. Henderson. But right, they didn't feel like giving up what it was going to take to get up and get him. They took their corner at number 16. And Thomas Dimitroff sounds pretty happy with A.J. Terrell.
I mean, of course, but every coach who drafted it, who had a pick in this NFL draft, liked all the players. You know what I'm saying?
What if they don't like him already? You know?
But they're not going to come out and be like, damn, man, it, I wish we didn't pick him.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, sometimes you got to take coach talk and GM talk with a grain of salt. I called AJ Terrell because I thought they were going to go corner, and I thought that he would be there when they picked. You know what I'm saying? I know they would love to gotten up to number 9 to pick a C.J. Henderson and all those things, but he just wasn't – it wasn't a trade partner that was willing – because the thing – and we talked about it leading up to the draft. The thing when all the reports were that the Falcons were trying to get up. You don't think other people listened to those reports? I bet they were trying to fleece the heck out of the Falcons, trying to get up because they knew the Falcons wanted to get up so bad. I mean, they got so many needs. You know what I'm saying? I think that was the thing right there. They filled all their needs. Now, they might not have been some of the players that they were projected or people wanted, but they got what they need. They needed a new corner. They needed a defensive tackle. They needed a center guard. They needed all these things, and they wouldn't got it. Now, I'll always say it, we don't know until these guys get on the field how good they're going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you're right. They're not going to sit here before anyone has gotten on the field and say they don't like the draft pick that they made, because they just made the draft pick. Of course he likes the draft pick that he made. Now, the Falcons did do a couple things. Well, did one thing yesterday as well. They added Deion Buchanan, safety, linebacker, played for the Cardinals for a number of years and actually had some really good years with the Cardinals, kind of bounced around the last couple of seasons. But a good depth guy. I don't know if he'll end up making the roster or not, but a fun guy to bring in and give him a shot to. Kind of a Kamal Ishmael type of player.
Yes.
And it makes sense. Now, what we're all sort of looking forward to is the June 1 money that the Falcons are going to have access to with the Desmond Trufant and the Devontae Freeman cuts being post-June 1 designations, meaning they're going to get about $11 million in about a week and a half. Right. One thing to remember, and Jarvis Davis pointed this out on Twitter yesterday, rightly so, about $8 million of that has to go to the draft class. Speaking of that draft class, they got to pay those guys they drafted.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, not a ton of money left over to get
out in free agency.
It's good to have money, but I mean, when you talk about this time of year, as far as signing people, you're not going to go get a big friend. Like, they're not going to – they didn't clear up June 1 to go get Jadeveon Clowney. Would Clay come in? Yeah, Clay will come in for what they can pay him. I wouldn't mind seeing Clay Matthews in here.
I wouldn't either. We'll get back to that in the NFL No Huddle. I know D-Led threw that out there yesterday in the AJC. Coming up next, though, big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian Gebhardt on a Friday live from the Kia Studios. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Twin Peaks.
92.9 The Game breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Podference Podcast Series. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
When you're injured, the insurance company often tries to pay you less than you deserve. They call it business. We call it bullying. I'm Matt Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Every day, we get our clients more than what the insurance companies initially offered and more than they were hoping to pay. Sometimes even 100 times more. How do we do it? It's simple. It starts with believing and it ends with betting. Believing in you and betting on ourselves. We use our size, our financial resources, and our reputation to take on the biggest bullies and get you the biggest results. We have recovered billions of dollars for our clients. You know what the insurance companies are hoping for? That you hire the wrong law firm that won't make those bets. That's why when you need a lawyer, the choice you make makes all the difference. Results matter. Reputation matters. Choices matter. So after an injury, who will you choose? There's only one Morgan & Morgan for the people.
Morgan & Morgan Atlanta. All cases are different. No representation is made here about your specific rights.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Get your vehicle ready for Memorial Day weekend. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for just $33.99. Plus, get a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate. Protect your engine and keep it running smooth with Valvoline Full Synthetic. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday.
That's for you, Wendy.
Brought to you by Twin Peaks. We got some shout-outs to give, my friends.
Yeah, man.
My guy Frank drinking a Don Julio watermelon margarita for breakfast. Come on,
my
man.
Dude.
God, that sounds
what
good.
What the hell?
What?
I need to grab me one of them.
Yeah, sounds awesome, doesn't it?
Yes.
Gregory Morrell, he may be, I know we had a leader in the clubhouse already with the Woodford Reserve, the Stogie, and the great music. Gregory Morrell's got a shower beer going. It's a Scofflaw basement, which is near and dear to my heart. And he's getting the shower beer in before he heads to the golf course. So
a shower beer.
Nothing better than a shower beer.
That is something that I've never done.
Oh, really?
I've never had a shower beer before.
Is that
ever.
Right? I mean, you've had a lot of beers in a lot of places.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you've never had a shower beer.
I've never had a shower beer.
Really?
I've never had a shower in a on Fridays in St. Louis, it was beer pizza day. So after practice, we would get pizza from this local pizzeria in St. Louis, and then we would get beer. And we would eat it in the cold tub. You know, we'd sit in the cold tub, have some cold beers and everything like that. But I've never done it, drank in the shower before.
Yeah, the shower beer was a staple on Fridays or Saturdays in my younger days when you're getting ready to go out. Because a lot of times, you know, I worked a job when I was in college. So you get off your job around 8 or 9 or whatever, run home, jump in the shower. Your roommates are already getting ready to party. They're already getting the pre-party going. So you got to catch up. You don't have time to waste. You got to get a Bud Light in the shower and kill two birds with one stone. It's called Power Shower.
Now I know.
I haven't power showered in a long. My power showers now are just cold showers in the morning before we do the show. It's not
now
as exciting. I would recommend, highly recommend a shower beer. We'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up in about 15 minutes. Some proposals from the league and for some teams about some rule changes, trying to get rid of the onside kick, and what they've come up with to replace it is interesting to say the least. We'll get into that in about 15 minutes, as well as some other Falcons news and rumors. Before we get there, though, let's get to Brian Gebhardt and Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Brian Gebhardt.
You know what irritates me?
What's that?
And now. The and now part. The and now part of his intro is starting to irritate me.
Because it makes it seem like we've been like delaying the inevitable or delaying the greatness of. And now that Andy and Randy are finally done talking about nothing important. I'm with you. I get the same vibe from that. Yeah, yes, that's Brian for you.
Yeah,
hey,
I mean that's actually JP, our listener out there. He was the one.
I know JP and all. Yeah, but you and JP be plotting, man. But go ahead. What up, B?
Well, he just made it how he thought. I'm really disappointed in you that you've never had a shower beer. Like, this really shocks me. Out of all the things we've worked together for a number of years, I am surprised that you, even by accident, you didn't just find a way into the shower with the beer. No. That's a big deal to me.
No, I've taken a beer in the bathroom and was drinking it and then got in the shower, but I was never actually in the shower with a beer before.
Are you super quick shower guy? Are you like 4 or 5 minutes and out?
Depends.
Okay.
It just depends.
Does 4 or 5 minutes constitute a quick one?
I think so. Yeah. I'm more like a 10-12 minute.
Andy.
Yeah.
We're not gonna put out how nasty you are, okay? So
I can do all I need to do in 90 seconds to 2 minutes.
And that's fine, but we're trying to reel back in some of the nastiness that you are, all right?
I'm not nasty.
Okay. But, again.
5 minute shower is the longest shower I've ever taken in my life.
See, that's what I'm saying, dog. We're trying to get that stigma, that stench off of you that you're dusty.
There's no stench. Doing fine, anyway.
All right. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Sunday, 3 p.m., TNT, Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Tom Brady. Are you guys, how much are you looking forward to this?
So much. It's a huge deal. I can't wait for this to get here on Sunday. Like, the one that they did last weekend was cool with Rory and Ricky and DJ and those guys, but this one is just bigger. It's going to be more fun. I mean, the fact that you've got two Hall of Fame quarterbacks that aren't professional golfers, they're going to hit some bad shots, which, I mean, they're good players, but they're going to hit some bad shots, which is going to be fun. They got a pretty good broadcast team getting ready to broadcast it. They've got fun rules, so it's not just straight up match play. Like, they've got, I think they're doing alternate shot and four ball. They're going to play one hole with only one club. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, obviously you are, because we usually, when we do this segment, I go first and answer, but you just jumped all over it. But yeah, I think it's gonna be fun, man. I think that's the biggest thing. And the greatest about it is it's for a great cause. You know what I'm saying? It's for, you know, helping people out going through rough times nowadays. And, you know, I'm going to sit back and watch it, man, because it's going to be fun. You know, you got two rivals in golf. You got two rivals in as far as football, as everybody wanted to make it. And they're going out there and they're competing. So that's great.
So here's one other thing to look for, and you guys made fun of me last month talking about this. It's not a professional match. It's a charity thing, so they can wear shorts. I got two words for you, Randy.
What's that?
Phil's calves. Be on the lookout for Phil Mickelson calves on Sunday. What? You're going to know what I'm talking about by about the second hole.
I'm not going to be checking out Phil calves. Okay, I've seen Phil before. You know, because he came out to the, when I played for the Chargers, he came out and spoke to us and hung out with us. I've seen him in shorts. The last thing I was doing, Andy, was looking at his damn calves.
Well, I'm not saying it's like you can't help but notice is what I'm. They're like Ray Allen's calves. They're gigantic.
No, no, no. I can help notice another man's calves, Andy.
I can't. That's the difference between you and me. I can't help it.
And if you weren't excited about Sunday already, now you know about Phil's calves, and you're even more excited about the match on Sunday.
Tiger Woods, tiny calves.
Want to get to one other topic here. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Chipper Jones was on the JR Sports Brief show on the CBS network, which you can hear after John Chuckery's show on 92.9 The Game. And he talked about or shared his thoughts, his reaction to Blake Snell's comments.
Squabbling over money is probably, you know, seventh or eighth on the list of most important things to talk about first. And obviously the health measures and whatnot are the most important thing. You know, Blake Snell came out last week, and it was, you know, as a former player, it was not a great look for the players. I think if he had stuck to the narrative of the health issues and his concerns over that, as opposed to I'm not going to play because I'm not going to get my money, you know, that was a little bit of a bad look. But, you know, I'm still hopeful that we can still get something started, you know, first week of July, July 4th, something like that. I feel like we can get 80, 90 ball games in by October, and hopefully, you know, a strong postseason. This season's always going to have an asterisk by it, but the bottom line is, you know, the American people clamor for baseball on TV, whether fans are present or not.
I love
big
it.
Big deal. It's a big deal. He's right.
It.
He's exactly
He's
right.
Absolutely
I mean,
right.
That's
He's
a lot
right.
of what we said last week. It matters more coming from Chipper, of course, but yeah, he's 100% right.
Am I a snob because I'm watching myself on TV right now?
Are you on TV?
Yeah, the Hobnail boot games on one of our listeners just told us. Oh, damn.
No, dude, maybe that's awesome. I don't know. You said the other day something that made me so happy that you'll watch old highlights and old games that you played in on YouTube in the backyard in your house on the big screen. Like, that it's so relatable because, like, all of us would do that if we had highlights on YouTube. We just don't. Like, damn, I found myself chipping golf balls in the backyard, okay?
Travis Stevens was running all over us.
Yeah.
Oh, Robinson Santana, he said his wife homemade jungle juice with fruits, a little drink, with a socially distanced prepping for the backyard a weekend assortment of meats. Ooh. My man. He said, I know it's early, but it's 5 p.m. somewhere in the world.
It's 10 p.m. somewhere. It's 10 o'clock somewhere. You think Chipper Jones is having a happy hour Friday?
Hell yeah, Chipper having one. Chipper got a drunk nose.
He does. We'll come back and get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off an 11 o'clock hour, the 11 o'clock hour, on a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.